Every Christmas, whenever we gather together, we decorate the whole church with Christmas tree and all these pomps and pageantries. And on Easter, we get our best clothes and prepare ourselves as we gather together on the resurrection day. But on the day of the Pentecost, you hardly can hear anything out in the news. You don't see a lot that are happening, even in our secular world. But today is a very important day in the Christian world, because today is the birthday of the church. We're supposed to have a big birthday cake right here, as what other churches have been doing and have done in the past. They bring it and they blow it and they say, "Happy birthday, church." The day of the Pentecost is in fact one of the most important seasons in the life of our church. And I pray that as we come together, we will instill in our minds the power, the significance, and the challenge that comes from the scripture, particularly in the book of Acts. As we dive in today in Acts chapter 2, let's pray that the Spirit will open us and lead us to re-examine our own faith in God as we draw closer to Him than ever before. Let us pray. O Pentecost Spirit, reignite the power that comes from you in our hearts today, so that our lives and its church will renew, refresh, and be transformed. Speak to us once again your solemn word as we reclaim this power that only comes from you. For this, in your name that we pray. Amen. God gives special power, an extraordinary power for such extraordinary challenges for all Christians in expanding witness for Christ. And this extraordinary power fell upon the early disciples on the day of Pentecost. When we look at the disciples of Jesus, we wonder how this ragtag group, or we call it misfits of individuals, could change the world. After all, this group of 12, they were flawed. They were ordinary individuals. Some of them are fishermen, and there was a tax collector. And next to Jesus, their leader was Simon Peter, who denied Christ not just once, not just twice, but three times. So how could any of them go anywhere and preach the gospel with such power and authority and integrity and be able to change the course of the world? How can they do that? Well, Jesus answered this question when he said on Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you." In fact, the Gospel of Luke says, "I see I'm sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." See, this power is given, this extraordinary power is given to all those who believe in the Lordship of Christ. It was this kind of supernatural power, a power that is not given by this world, but rather given from above. The Bible further says in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, this power, this unusual fullness came upon the church and its messengers again and again in the early church for this special challenge for them to witness and to proclaim the gospel of Christ to the world. So what kind of power is this? When we speak of the power of the Holy Spirit, many people or even Christians misunderstand the term power. You know, when you ask someone, how do you understand power? Someone will say, well, power comes from the position. If you are the president of a nation, if you are serving in the military, if you are, chief of staff, you are general, then you have the power. Others may say the power comes from your academic credentials. If you have a PhD or if you have went to a prestigious school, then you have the power. Someone says power comes with resources. If you are Elon Musk or you're Bill Gates, then you must be powerful. But that's the world definition of power. And they tend to define power as the world defines it. Unfortunately, many Christians fall into that trap. And likewise, most of us Christians pursue power in the same way the world pursues it. But the Bible is different. The way God defines power is not of this world. It is a power that only comes from above. It's described this power from what the New Testament says. It comes with two different Greek words that are both sometimes translated as power. The first is exousia. Exousia. It's from the word that we get the word exertion. When we hear the word exertion, I'm sure one of the first things comes in our mind is strength, right? Because if you exert something, you sort of kind of you're giving strength or you're offering your strength. It's like you're exercising yourself. But there's another definition in the Bible that speaks about power. And that is the one that the book of Acts used in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that word, Greek word, is dumamis. Say that with me, church. Dumamis. That dumamis is the word from which we get the word dynamite. When you hear the word dynamite, I'm sure the first thing that comes into our minds is that creates a lot of damage, right? When I was sharing this, when I'm preparing this message, the first thought that comes into my mind is because right here in Kittrell we have a quarry, right? It's not really too far away. Every time we go on US 1 North, I see it from the left side. I'm sure whenever they do some stuffs right there, they use explosives and they use dynamites to clear and to make way for their business to thrive. Big buildings and big older buildings and older bridges that needs to be replaced. Sometimes they use dynamites to make way for new buildings, for new bridges to be constructed. The language of dumamis was used here in Acts chapter 1 to demonstrate what this power is, to describe what kind of power comes from God that enabled the small band of followers, this misfits, this kind of ragtag group, and how they were able to turn the world upside down with their witness. So let me unpack three things for us as we understand deeply about what dunamis power is. Number one, this is not an external possession that may be bought or sold. This is something that we inherently have. This is something that comes from God. It is not a power that exalts one person above another. It is not a kind of power that manipulates others or control others. It does not enable a person to become independent of others. Rather, this dunamis power uses God's power to break us, to mold us, to humble us, to reshape us, so that we may be more like and like Jesus. To experience this dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, we are called to acknowledge our own helplessness, our own sense of complete dependence to God. In other words, this kind of power is not something that can be boasted out of our own efforts. It's not like what we're saying, oh, I've deserved this because I have worked for this. Rather, Lord, I cannot do this apart from you. The paradox of this is that the more we humble ourselves, the more we submit ourselves, the more we surrender ourselves to His will, the more that God will give us this dunamis power that He will work in and through us as vessel of His work in the world. The more we get self out of the way and yield our will to His will, the more powerfully He's able to pour Himself through us to others. Think about those heroes in the Bible who have embodied this kind of humility. Think about David for a second, on how he said, Lord, this battle belongs to you. And he was able to conquer Goliath. Think about the moment in your lives wherein the more you submit yourselves to God, the more that He gives you strength, the more that He empowers you to do what God wants you to do. See, church, this kind of power does not come from us. It's given to us. And we are only the conduits of this power. And that leads me to the second point. The moment we yield ourselves and to acknowledge that all good and perfect things come from heaven, that we are merely the conduit of God's dunamis power, then this power of the Holy Spirit becomes limitless. See, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, God gave them the limitless power. From a band of ragtag disciples, ordinary misfits, God used them, and they were able to unleash that power because that power became limitless, because the term power comes from God. Think about those moments in your life wherein the moment you gave your life for Jesus, you begin to do things that you otherwise will not be able to do on your own. I remember my moments in my life wherein, I think I've said this from the pulpit, that never before I've been thinking that I will be standing Sunday every Sunday to preach God's word. But how God have used my own limitations. God have used my own inadequacy so that God can unleash His extraordinary power through me. And I'm sure it speaks also to a lot of us here today. Jesus did not want the disciples to try to do anything in their own power or strength. Nor did Jesus simply want to give them the authority or just the power. But rather, He wants us to give us this dunamis power, the ability to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. This transforming power that energizes with the ability to do all things, to even understand different languages. Think about that for a second, that this band of disciples gathered and apostles gathered on the day of Pentecost, they were able to understand people of all different languages. and be able to interpret it. Because God has the ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And that leads me to the final point, that with the dunamis power, God can do anything for you. On the day of Pentecost, the early disciples were all filled with the power of this Holy Spirit, that they began to speak in other languages. They were empowered to be bold witnesses. They received this power to change lives, and eventually they transformed the world. That same power, church, that sat among the first century Christians in motion is available to us today. The power to be witnesses, the power to share faith, and the power to turn the world upside down. That same Holy Spirit gave us the ability to go to the ends of the earth and to expand our influence beyond our natural abilities. This power will spread witnesses all over the world. The last couple of weeks, I've been immersing myself watching the old revival of Billy Graham. As Judy keeps on helping me on YouTube, watching how God have used Billy Graham to spread the word of God in more than 150 nations across the earth. See, this power does not come from him. This power came from God. And this power is also given to us, to every one of us. It gives us the ability to turn fear into courage. It gives us the power to receive joy and turn loneliness into joy. This power gives us to turn our lives from a life of anger, a life of resentment and unforgiving spirit, to a life of joy and peace and humility. This dunamis power gives us the ability to fight the attitude of complaining, selfishness, and mean-spirited attitude that usually take hold of us. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life, the God of possibilities begin to work in you, and you will have this attitude of gratitude. And gratitude becomes the single greatest act of your worship to God. When you have this dunamis power, no matter how dark your night may be, dawn always comes. Amen? With dunamis power, though sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. With the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a promise of new life, that even though we lost and grieve for our loved ones, we know that that was not the end of the story. We know that there is life beyond this life. And we can proclaim that, and we can testify to that, because we know that God will be with us till the end of time. So church, on this Pentecost day, God is challenging us to reclaim His power, this dunamis power that makes all things possible. And may this power overtake all aspects of our lives, from our finances, our priorities, our relationships, our attitudes, our behaviors. May this dunamis power come and have our way, have your way, O God, in our hearts. Have your way, O Holy Spirit, in our attitudes and in our behaviors, in all aspects of our lives. And may your Holy Spirit consume us now and forever. Let us pray. Pentecost Spirit, set us ablaze with your consuming power and love. Overtake all that we are and all that we have. We believe in who you are and know your plan for us. Come and fill us, Lord. Have your way in our hearts and in our lives. Give us this extraordinary dunamis power, just like what you have done through this band of ragtag group of disciples more than 2,000 years ago. Empower us, refine us, and purify us. We receive your power that overflows. And let your light shine into the darkness of this world. We offer these prayers on this day of Pentecost in the name of Jesus. And all the people of God said, Amen.